And bless them kids. We don't have a pile of kids here this morning. Y'all like got a bus ministry going I don't know about? Some call my grandkids. Amen. Sometimes I wish I'd had another child just so I'd have more grandkids. I'm just being honest, man. We're like, why'd we start with two? Are we selfish or what? This morning, I want to speak on a Greek word this morning, and we'll go as far as we can. I've got a lot I would really like to say this morning. I don't know that we'll get to speak on all of it. We're ultimately going to get to Romans chapter 13, but I'll be honest with you, I could pick a spot in the New Testament and teach on this in most places in the Old Testament. The word, it's an amazing Greek word, and the Greek word is kairos. And kairos is a real significant word to God, in the fact that He put it in the New Testament alone, either that word or I think it's called a conjugate, where it comes from the same root word derivative, 86 times in the New Testament. You think if God's going to put something 86 times in the New Testament, it's kind of significant what He's trying to say. And I saw a fresh definition of this when I was in Utah, and I really, really liked it. There are a lot of slightly different variations, but basically it's a moment in time, a significant moment in time, an opportune moment in time. But the definition that I saw that I absolutely loved while I was out there was kairos is a moment in time that gives meaning to the rest of time. A moment in time that gives meaning to the rest of time. The Lord allowed me to see something beautiful this past week. He allowed me to, it's like He peels something back and allowed me to see His interaction with His creation in a way that I've never seen it before. And I've been in nature and beautiful places my whole adult life. But He allowed me to see something. As we were hunting, we were in the middle of Uinta National Forest. And it's just under a million acres. So you've got a 880-something thousand acres of no development, of no buildings, no convenience stores, no homes, nothing. It's 880-something thousand acres of just expanse. And typically we were hunting about 8,000 feet in altitude. So we had a good climb every morning before daylight. And we would get up to these glassing points on these ridgetops, mountaintops, and it would be pitch black. And we would sit there, and we would get to watch the world come to life. And I saw it in a way that it was this beautiful relationship between God and His creation. In the fact that it was like, and I really had this strong sense and feeling that it was like Yahweh was giving the sun permission to rise. And the sun was responding to Yahweh's permission. And you would see it come up and it would crest, and if things would start, you could start seeing light before you saw the sun. But then you'd see the sun peak over a mountaintop, a distant mountaintop, and begin to shine and shed its light and cast its light. And it was like God was giving the sun permission to rise. He was giving light permission to spring forth. He was giving His creation permission to come alive. And His creation was responding to that. And it was beautiful, the relationship that I saw between the Creator and the creation. It wasn't just, well, that's what the world does. But I had this strong, overwhelming sense of creation was responding to Creator. And it's like He was given everything permission to be. And everything was saying yes to His permission. And sometimes it looked like a bird, or sounded like an elk bugling, or just a wind blowing. But everything was responding to His permission. Everything was responding to His intent. Earlier when I was speaking about how do you see your life, and we're going to get into this in just a second, but when I was talking about how do you see your life and then start investing so your life can become that, partner with God so your life can become that. Before the father saw the prodigal son physically come over the hill, he'd already seen it in his mind. He'd already seen it in his heart. He already knew what his response was going to be. He didn't say, we'll wait and see how humble he is. He didn't say, we'll wait and see how sorry he is for messing stuff up or anything like that. In his mind, he already knew what his response was, because that was coming out of his heart. And I just want us to get this. I spoke a really, really significant word out on the lawn one day when we were in the middle of the COVID. And it was, the Lord told us at the beginning of the year, Robin, that this year was going to be a year of, one of our words was faith that explores. And the Father began to clarify that for me as the year began to progress. And He said, you understand my will. I could sit up here and I could tell you all people, I really, and it's the thing of just not understanding the Father when people come in and say, man, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. And I'm like, man, I can tell you what God's will is for your life, Marty. Well, we can sit down and I can tell you what His will is for your life right now in for an hour. That is no problem. I can vomit every bit of that up on you. And, man, you can get everything. And so I think when we get into His Word, we know His will for us. And then in the last 3, 4, 5 years, He's been carrying us into a journey into His heart. And that's the journey into beloved identity. And we're getting that. We're understanding who we are in Him. We're understanding His heart for us. That He's a good God and He loves us and He cares in intensely for us, and His desire, His good pleasure is to be in this amazing, ridiculous relationship with us. This connection, the way I saw with creation. I saw this amazing connection between God and creation, James, that I've never seen before. And I'm an outdoors guy. Been that for years and years and years, but I saw this amazing connection, and He says, that's my heart for you. I want to the rhythm. That's one thing I really felt real strongly was rhythm. There was no awkwardness to it. It just flowed and it moved and it was so natural and all of that stuff. And He said, that's what I want for you. That's what I want in our relationship and all. That's what I want in our heart. My heart for you. And so we saw that, and we're understanding His heart for us. But then He comes in and He says, this journey that we're on is into the dreams of God concerning us. But here's the thing, guys, is the origin of the dreams of God, is it from His heart. The Word says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. It says, above all else, guard your heart in Proverbs. And so God's dreams originate from His heart. And so when we come in and we understand what His heart is for us, there's no limit to the expanse of what the dreams are for us. And so I'm sitting here and I'm seeing all of this beautiful permission being given and a yes to that permission being given. And it was just perfect in the way that it was aligned. It was perfect in its rhythm. And so God wants to come in and He wants to blow up in your life, and he wants your life to be a journey of Kairos moments, where this is a significant moment in your life. And I see it in our experiences a lot. You know, when I got saved, when I got married, when I had baby, we got the big list, you know. Y'all all got the big list. I always tell Lord, you're second best to everything that ever happened to me, you know, besides finding Jesus. You know, and birth of my kids is the third best and all of that stuff. And we've got our list of big things, but we tend to limit it at that. And so this morning, I want us to come in and I want us to consider and I want us to open our eyes and open our mind and open our heart to Kairos moments. Because I know we get so focused on what we're doing. We get so focused on the task at hand that we miss these things. We miss these things. If I'd been so focused on only seeing an elk, I would have missed this. I keep wanting to say symbiosis, but I don't know that that's the right word. But it's a symbiotic thing. It's just this ebb and flow between the two that's attached. It's like an elasticity that won't break. And I think we come in. I know we come in and we get so busy with the stuff of life that we miss out on these Kairos moments. Let me read that definition to you one more time, and I'm gonna come in. I want to read a few things, and then we'll talk about some scripture. A Kairos. This definition is a moment in time that gives meaning to the rest of time. A moment in time that gives meaning to the rest of time. And I want to tell you something, guys. There's one of our songs that we absolutely love, and I think it's So Will I. And there's this line in this song that is one of my favorite lines of anything we've sang in a really, really long time. But that line is, and Noah, you can help me out on this, but it's evolving in pursuit of what you said. Evolving in pursuit of what you said. Evolving in pursuit about what you said concerning me. Evolving in pursuit about what you dreamed of me, which is really evolving in pursuit of what your heart is for me. Because the dreams of God flow out of the heart of God for us. And I want to evolve in the pursuit of that. Evolving in His pursuit of me. And the reason that I'm throw this into this word that I feel like the Lord has for us this morning is that we think we come in and we think we've checked the boxes on the Kairos moments. We think we checked the boxes. All right, I'm married. I got saved. I got kids. You know, you got a few more, four or five that you want to fill in there and all of that stuff. And God says, I don't want this to be a thing where you check the boxes and say, I had five great Kairos moments in my life. He said, I want these Kairos moments to happen on a consistent, continual basis. I think Errol put something on social media, and she was kind of wrong on it. I know what she was saying, but she was wrong on it. She said something about congratulations to Poppy on a bucket list thing. I told Lori, I said, that ain't no bucket list. I said, I'm doing another one year after next. It's not like it's a one and done. Well, we check a box. We come in like that in our kingdom life, and it's a one and done, and we check our box. I got saved. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I experienced God's forgiveness. I experienced God's love. The beauty of the prodigal son was not the fact that the father embraced him and put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and killed the fatted calf. The beauty of it is, guess where he got to live from there on? In my Father's house. Because you know what happened this morning in Uinta National Forest? I wasn't there, but you know what happened this morning? God gave the sun permission to rise. He gave light permission to shine. He gave aspen leaves the permission to turn yellow today. gave Quakies the permission to turn red. He gave elk permission to bugle. And they responded. And you know what's going to happen tomorrow? He's going to do it again. He's going to give the mountains permission to bow down before him. He's going to give the mountains permission to bow down before him. And the expanse and greatness. Eric's leaving Wednesday and he's going to Montana. Brother, I pray that you go out there and it's Kairos for you. Because you're going to be doing the exact same thing. You're going to be sitting on a mountaintop at 5 a.m. waiting for the sun to rise. And I want you to feel, because you'll feel it in here. Not just see it here, you'll feel it in here. You'll feel creation and the Father and the Creator and their relationship. And you'll feel His permission and you'll feel their yes. That's what our lives are supposed to look like, guys. I text this to Marty this week in maybe a little bit different words. But I text the Kairos. I was just really stirred. It was before the hunt began. We were just chilling at a cabin. We had a river or a creek that was running right behind the cabin and just sitting out and just listening to the water. And I said, my goal is to live my life in such a way that Kairos moments come often. They come often. And that I recognize them when they do come, fully embracing the moment. That they come often and I recognize them when they do come, fully embracing the moment. In this I will continue to be made whole and transform into the kingdom man that God embodies, into the kingdom man that embodies Christ. I hit some high points on this and I'll fill in some things. I believe I can live my life in such a way that Kairos moments come often. I believe that I can position myself in life so that Kairos moments come often. I believe in this journey of pursuit, this faith journey, that as I press in and as I chase after God and he's it's not hard to find him, guys. We make it look like we're chasing after this endangered species, and you'll spend your whole life and maybe you'll get a glimpse of him, and he's not that hard to find. You're holding him in your lap. You say, that's my baby. I know. It's the breath of Yahweh. It's his dream for you. It's his heart for you. And I believe that we can live a life and our life can be such that Kairos moments come often. I'm talking about something that changes the way you view life, something that changes the trajectory of your life, that changes the way you do life. You view life and changes the way you do life. We're going to read this in a minute, Romans. I thought about the apostles. To me, the apostles are a perfect example of people that positioned themselves to have Kairos moments. I thought about when John the Baptist was baptizing in the river and Jesus went to him and Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus and it said that it was in the form of a dove and it came and it rested upon him because the word said the one that the Spirit rest upon. That's what God told John, the one the Spirit rest upon. And then the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Audible voice, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And there were people that were there that saw that and heard that. And the reason that they saw that and they heard that was because they positioned themselves. They positioned themselves for a Kairos moment. The disciples were looking for the Messiah. Not all of them, but a good number of them were disciples of John before they were disciples of Jesus. And when Jesus came to them and in their spirit they knew he was the Messiah, you know what they did? They ran to their brother. Said, "We found the one we've been looking for." And it was a Kairos moment because he positioned himself for it to be a Kairos moment. Some of them were there when John pointed as Jesus walked up and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world." A Kairos moment. This is him. This is him. And I believe that as we live an adventurous life in faith and in life, God didn't intend for you to live a boring, unadventurous life. Doesn't have to look like mine. But he wants you to live this adventurous life, this life of great faith, where you run out there and you believe him for things, and you believe him for things in other people's lives, and you come into this yes, and as he gives you permission, you say yes. And you're in this beautiful rhythm with God. And it's not a check the box, it's a thing that evolves. The Lord brought to my mind as I was meditating on this, you remember the two of the instances where Jesus calmed the storm and the disciples were in the boat. One time Jesus was asleep and one time Jesus walked on the water. The first time it happened, when Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples looked at each other and they said, "What manner of man is this?" They had a Kairos moment. They said, "We're in the presence of something special." I mean, they'd already thought, man, this is the Messiah and all of this stuff, but there was still some solidifying that needed to take place. There was still some cementing, some rooting and establishing and all of this stuff. Because when Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am? And then who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Messiah, you're the Christ." And then Jesus is like, "Man, that's awesome. Holy Spirit, reveal that to you." But the first time when they had that Kairos moment of Jesus calming the storm, they said, "What manner of man is this?" But the second time when they had a Kairos moment of Jesus calming the storm, what did they say? "Surely this is the Son of God." He went from being somebody special, he went from being an anointed man, he went from maybe even being a great prophet, a healer or something like that. He went being from that to being, "This is the Son of God." So these Kairos moments are meant to evolve. They are meant to build on one upon another. It would be sad if they stayed on this one level. It would be sad if I had a conversation with Eden yesterday. She hung out with me for a while, and Lori was up at the barn, and Z was at soccer. She didn't want to go to soccer, and so she was doing her she called it her journal or something like that for school. Her journey. And she was had a little back because of a journal. And she said it was for school and all that stuff. And she told me, she said, we got talking about learning. And she said, "I don't like school." You know, I'm like, "Well, you got it rough, don't you?" She said, "I don't like school." I said, "Yeah, but school's good." I said, "You need to learn." I said, Poppy still learns." I said, "I like learning. I want to learn." She said, "Yeah, but you're old." I know I am, but I said, "I still want to learn. I don't ever want to stop." I said, you're 40 and you've got a lot to learn." I was trying to encourage her. School's a good thing. I said, "You've got a lot to learn. You've got a whole lifetime, especially in these formative years, you know, you got at least 12 years of this." So I said, "You got a lot to learn." But I wanted to let her know that we never stop learning. And I think that some people, the reason that they are not in this adventurous pursuit of God, I think they get bored with their faith. And you know why they get bored with their faith? Because they've checked the boxes. I got saved. I got filled with the Spirit. I've experienced some cool stuff. I love the Lord. The Lord loves me. I'm going to heaven one day. And so they get bored with their faith. And they stop the journey of Kairos moments. And I really want to pray over this house this morning. And whatever that looks like, whether it's this group of people that's here today or, and the kids upstairs, or maybe people that are indifferent about coming to church right now, I want to pray over this house a reinvigoration of Kairos. And I'm not saying it has to look like it did when you first got saved, but there should be a... It should be deeper and better. But I remember many times in my life that I was much more passionate instead of saying, well, it'll be there tomorrow. Well, we'd roll on 3 or 4 hours sleep because of kingdom stuff, not and so excited about it. Witnessing to, sharing our faith, being excited about what was happening instead of, man, we're just the faithful that's hanging on. We get that mindset. Everybody else leave you, Lord, but I'm not going to leave you. Instead of a contagious Christianity, I got reminded of that this past week. You know, after spending 5 days with a guy, and a lot of hours. We were riding a side-by-side down the mountain, and it was probably a 45-minute drive, hour drive. It varied every day, but we were going down on little goat trails on his side-by-side. And after, about 3 days into it, and he's asking me about me and Lori and all that. And the conversation had been building. And he finally was just kind of like, what makes y'all y'all? Because he told me, he said, man, I think it's cool that you come out here with your wife. He said, most guys come by themselves. And he said, I think it's amazing you come out with your wife. He said, I really see something. He was married with kids, 29 years old. He said, I really see something different in y'all. He said, man, y'all love each other, don't you? He said, I see it in her and I see it in you. He said, I see the way, this is his words. He said, man, I just see the way that y'all honor each other. And the Lord was like, and I vomited on him. I mean, not physically vomited. Y'all know what, when somebody says vomit, y'all know what it means. People do it on Facebook all the time. It's like, nobody cares. Shut up. But he invited it. He wanted to know, and so I vomited on him. You know, vomit, you don't hold anything back. Everything that's in there comes out. And I vomited on him for about a half hour. And I was sitting on the side of his side-by-side, and we were going down this mountain. It was dusty as all get out, and we looked like dang it and all that stuff. And I was just sitting over just crying my eyes out, just squalling like a baby. I told him 2 or 3 times, I said, man, I'm sorry. I can't quit crying. He said, it's okay. I started talking about the goodness of God, the goodness of Yahweh, and His mercy and His grace and His faithfulness and His love for us. And what He's done in our lives. And it stirred me in here in such a way that I walked away that day feeling really, 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 really like, man, that was right. God's like, man, that's the way every day is supposed to look. And I was reminded by Him of the things that really matter. Because in that moment, that was way more important. The disappointment of we didn't get one that day. I want to say that morning I missed one. I shot at one like 600 and something yards. I did. Blows my mind. Gordon, you get out there and it's like, oh, get ready, set up. He's let me range him. Oh, he's 860 yards. Get ready for it. I'm like, dude, I'm from Georgia. I can't even see 860 yards. No lie. I'm like, pretend like I'm on a bow hunt with a gun. But that day it didn't matter. The only thing that mattered right then was the goodness of God and the faith that I could share. And here's my prayer as we were leaving, and I told Lori, and Lori was riding with a solid man. He was a good solid dude. He was a Mormon man. He was solid, and it was cool because we wound up spending 5 days with these guys. But on the exact same morning, both of us got to share our faith with our guys totally separately. And it wasn't planned. We didn't wake up that morning and say, "Man, we're gonna testify to these jokers today. I'm gonna witness to them." It was just cool the way God, because I got in the truck, I'm like, "Man, I just vomited all over him." She's like, "Me too." But you know what my prayer is? Is that was a Kairos moment for him. That was my prayer, Randy, that was a Kairos moment for him. Because he was curious. He asked me, he said, "What religion are y'all?" He didn't ask what denomination out there. It's what religion are you? You know, I started to mess with him, and I said, "No." He said, "What religion are y'all?" I said, "We're Christians. We're Pentecostals. We're Pentecostal Christians." I mean, I wasn't trying to say, "We're Pentecostal," you know. He said, "I went to church with my aunt in Ohio," and he said, "When they sang, they like stood up and clapped their hands." He said, "Is that the same thing?" I said, "Pretty much." But I really just want to come out, and I want to stir something in you guys. That if you're bored in your faith, if you've hit a wall, you feel like you've hit a wall in your faith, that God would stir something in you, that you would begin to long for significant moments. And it can be something. It does not have to be interaction with somebody else. It can be watching the relationship between creation and creator. Because that was Kairos for me. That was huge for me. What we just completed together was Kairos for us as a couple. It was Kairos. It changes our approach to things and our viewpoint of things, you know, and all that. But I pray that God would awaken and stir in you a hunger for Kairos moments. Can I read that definition to y'all one more time before I jump a little further? A moment in time that gives meaning to the rest of time. We get it on the big stuff. We get it on we get it on our kids being born. When your kid was, I tell people, you know, when you get saved, man, it's just a... Your life from here on out is totally different. You view things different. Your approach to life is different. Everything's different. I tell them when you get married, it's the same thing. When you walk away from that, wherever you got married at, that altar that was created, you walk away and you're like, "All right, life won't ever be the same." That was Kairos. When you see your children being born, it's Kairos. It's Kairos. But it's not just... I'm about to say something wrong here. It's not just big stuff, but the little stuff. Me seeing creation and creator and their interaction was big. Hopefully this guy and his side-by-side getting puked on by a dude was big. He texted me after the hunt was over and we were coming home. He said, "I hope y'all enjoyed the hunt as much as we enjoyed the hunt with y'all. Hope y'all enjoyed hunting with us as much as we enjoyed hunting with y'all." He said, "Y'all are amazing." He didn't say you can shoot good. Didn't say you were tough. He just said, "Y'all are amazing. Amazing people." So I believe, getting back on point just a little bit, I believe we can live our life in such a way that Kairos moments come often. I believe that God has Kairos moments waiting for me. I believe God has Kairos moments waiting for me. I believe God has Kairos moments waiting for you. We talked about the disciples, their proximity to Jesus and their faith. I put these Kairos moments transform our revelation and understanding and the evolving of our revelation and understanding. I made reference to the two storms, and it went from what manner of man is this to this is the Son of God. See how they'd evolved in their faith and understanding? What manner of man is this to this is the Son of God? I think it's important. I know it's important, obviously, but it's something that we need to pray and we need to have in our heart in a pursuit, is recognizing Kairos moments when they do come. Because I have missed a lot of Kairos moments by not recognizing they were Kairos moments. I want to live life in such a way that when these God-intended Kairos moments come, that I recognize it. What caused Moses to turn aside at the burning bush? You think that was the first time God did a burning bush in front of Moses? I don't know how accurate this is, but I'll take it at face value. I've heard scholars say that in that area, and I believe it after being in southern Utah when it was over 100 degrees, I've heard scholars say that in that intense heat, in that intense, the desert environment that Moses was, that it was very possible and maybe not uncommon for a bush to combust. I take it for, I've not researched it. I didn't Google it, so I don't know. But I've heard scholars say that. But the thing that separated Moses on this one and other ones is this bush didn't go out. Look for something different than the norm in your life, and you might just see that it's a Kairos moment. Well, wait a minute. There's something different about this. Something feels different about this. I had spent three, me and Brent spent one morning, and me and Lori had spent two full days with this guide before it came to a place where I could share my life with him, my faith with him. There was something different about that ride. I told you it was cool. Me and Lori happened the same morning or same lunchtime going down the mountain. It's the exact same time. I'm like, man, that's, boy, what a coincidence, right? It's God orchestrating stuff. And God has these Kairos moments that he has brought into your path. He's waiting for your faith journey to collide with these things. But what's terrible about this is so often we go through life and we miss them because we are not going through life with eyes wide open. I want to go through life with eyes wide open. I want to be so aware of everything around me that I can look through the surface and feel past the surface and know past the surface and see what's really going on. We would understand people a lot better if we would approach life like that. We wouldn't be so judgmental, wouldn't be so angry, wouldn't want to be so contentious. We wouldn't want to shoot them a bird while we're listening to worship music. Is that anybody but me? I just drove 5,000 miles, okay? And I'm sitting here listening to Marty preach or James preach, listening to worship or on our stuff and all that, and then some joker does something crazy, and I'm sitting there wanting to flip them off. Sorry if that just ruined your image of me. I know all y'all Jesus' first cousins, and y'all never have those thoughts. But maybe when I live in a place where I'm sensitive, and I'm cognizant of God doing something, or maybe where somebody else is coming from, maybe then I can recognize these Kairos moments, and I can embrace them. Recognize them when they do come, but then the thing of recognizing them when they do come is doing something with them. See, the thing about this, a moment in time that gives meaning to the rest of time. Not a moment in time that's wow, but a moment in time that gives meaning to the rest of time. Marty says something I absolutely love, and he said this before we went on our first trip to Honduras with them. He said, once you see something, you can't unsee it. Once you see something, you can't unsee it. And I pray that I would see it as a kairos. And I don't want to unsee it. I want it to build and I want to do something with it. Let me read some scripture to you, and I'm going to tie this up real quick and we'll be... I don't know why I want to be quick all the time, but you said you wasn't last time you preached. You preached for an hour and a half. Romans 13. Did I ask y'all to go there? Romans 13. In Romans 13, the Apostle Paul, and as I said, this is this kairos word is in the New Testament 86 times, or a word that traces back to the same root as kairos, 86 times in the New Testament. This is one example. But it's talking about what do we do with the kairos moments. At the beginning of Romans 13, the Apostle Paul is talking about our relationship to civil authorities and our relationship to others. He comes in and he said every commandment can be summed up in these words, love and value others the same way you love and value yourself. Love makes it impossible to harm another. So love fulfills all the law, all that the law requires. Now I want to read verse 11. I want to read four verses to you. Talking about living in a kairos lifestyle. To live like this is all the more urgent. We think we're living in times that are unprecedented. We do. We think, man, the world is crazy. The world is jacked up. You know, you got all of these people running around saying the Lord's about to come back because everything's so messed up. You know what the Apostle Paul was saying in AD 65 or whenever Romans was written? Because everything is so jacked up. Because everything is so messed up. Because our culture is a hot mess. Because society is crazy. I love history and I study history. I'm reading a book like that thick right now on the Lewis and Clark expedition, and really, I'm nerdy like that. I'm like you, Nick. I'm really getting into it. Y'all think that the politics are ugly now? It's the first time politics have ever been ugly. Partisanship. I got news for you guys. It was ugly before the Revolutionary War even started. It was ugly immediately after the Revolutionary War with the Federalists and all of that stuff. It was just as nasty then as it is now. It was ugly before the Civil War. It was ugly before we even Japan forced us into World War II because there was a lot of people wanting to get into it before we got forced into it because they saw what was happening in Europe and Britain and all of this stuff. There's nothing new that's going on today, okay? But the reason I say that is because this word that the Apostle Paul is writing to Rome is just as relevant in 2020 as it was in AD 67 or whenever that was written. All right, so he's talking about kairos. To live like this is all the more urgent, for time is running out, and you know it is a strategic hour in human history. It is time for us to wake up. For our full salvation is nearer now than when we were first believed. Was he talking about the return of the Lord, or was he talking about us being mature sons? Time is running out, and you know it is a strategic hour in human history. It is time for us to wake up. It's time for you to do something with the kairos and live in the kairos. And the same thing could have been said in 1775. The same thing could have been said in 1802. The same thing could have been said in 1860. The same thing could have been said in 1914. The same thing could have been said in 1940. And that's just in the United States. It's a critical hour. It's a critical hour. It is time for us to wake up. And then in verse 12, he says, night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. So we must once and for all strip away what is done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy clothes. And once and for all, we clothe ourselves with the radiance of light as our weapon. So what's my response to the Kairos moments? I clothe myself in His light. I clothe myself in His radiance. I don't want my guide from Utah to walk away and say, Sid, Lord is awesome. I want him to say, I need to find out about this Yahweh he's talking about. Might be the first time he's ever heard the word Yahweh. I want to know more about this. Because there's something that flickered in me when he was talking. There's something that jumped in me when he was talking. There was something that felt like it was coming alive with me when he was talking. So right now, as we walk through life and we desire these Kairos moments, we embrace these Kairos moments, we walk in these Kairos moments, our response to those Kairos moments is to be clothed in light so that the world sees it, feels it, knows it. I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul put this in there when he was talking about us honoring authority over our lives, about paying taxes and about being good citizens and all that. Read that. There's some amazing stuff. He said they're here to uphold the law. He said that's the reason they carry weapons. Read that. That's in the Bible. So much for defunding the police, right? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get political. That offended anybody out there. He also said, if you do what's right, you don't have to worry about them. Read it. Read it. It's Romans chapter 13. You say, man, you're getting away from the gospel. I'm reading the gospel. But what is my job? What is my job? My job is to clothe myself in light. Because when he's coming on the tail end of talking about our relationship to civil authorities and all the stuff I just went on my little tangent on, he said, love and value others the same way you love and value yourself. So my response to the world, whatever it looks like, whatever side of the aisle they're on, love thy neighbors thyself. Clothe myself in light so they receive the same thing I receive. And you know what I receive? Mercy, grace, love from Yahweh. Kindness from Yahweh. So he said the way that you live in Kairos moments is you wake up and you clothe yourself in light. And once and for all, we clothe ourselves with the radiance of light as our weapon. We must live honorably, surrounded by the light of this new day, not in the darkness of drunkenness and debauchery, not in promiscuity and sensuality, not being argumentative. Boy, ain't nobody like that right now, are they? Or jealous of others. Instead, listen to this. This is how I respond to a Kairos moment. Instead, I fully immerse myself into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. I could say if any man's found in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things become new. Because of our encounter, how do we respond? Because of my encounter, how do I respond? because of my Kairos moment. How do I respond? How's my walk different next week? You know, I can come in and I can talk about sharing the gospel and sharing my life and how good it felt to vomit all over that guy. And God's like, yep, that was awesome, and I'm right in the middle of that. And he said, when's the last time you did that? Well, Lord, the moment just happened because you were looking for it, because you took time for it. How often do you not? Maybe the homeless guy needed that instead of me saying, man, he didn't even say thank you or kiss my tail or nothing. Maybe Marty needs that because he just needs to be encouraged in his faith. How we encourage one another. How our faith encourages one another. How our walk encourages one another. How our testimony encourages one another. How do we walk out these encounters? How does our approach to life change, Randy? How does my approach to life change? You see, here's the thing about these Kairos moments. They're not just for our selfish gratification. These Kairos moments are to change the way that we see God and change the way that we see ourselves. And that demands a response. So that's what I want to lay on you today. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's amazing. But it demands a response. It demands a response. To the disciples, their life was never the same. To Moses, his life was never the same. To Elisha, his life was never the same. He killed the oxen and burned the utensils, and he followed Elijah. To Jesus, his yes to the Father was, his life was never the same, because he came and entered into a young virgin girl. And he was born as a man, and he walked these dusty roads, and he walked us out for 30-something years and then went to a cross and bore our sins on Calvary's cross for the joy that was set before him. But his Kairos moment with the Father, it changed his life journey. And what God wants out of each one of us is a constant changing of our life journey. Constant variations. Same destination. But circumstances don't dictate how we do life, but circumstances create opportunities. Let me say that one more time. Circumstances do not dictate our life, but it creates a new set of opportunities for us. So what's our response? What's our response moving forward? I said, dog, I'm good, man. I checked the boxes. I'm fine. You do you. And I promise you this, you'll get bored in your faith. And some of you may be bored in your faith right now. I'm afraid to look at anybody. I don't want anybody to think, oh, see, it's pointing me out. Some of you may be bored in your faith right now. But if your life is a check the box, then you're going to be bored in your faith. But if your life is Kairos to Kairos to Kairos to Kairos, from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. You see, the burning bush was just a start for Moses. Then it carried him to Egypt. It carried him through some hard stuff. It carried him as a deliverer. But you know what? You know what? It opened the door to face-to-face encounters with God. Because they walked up on Mount Sinai that the average man couldn't even touch, Keith. The Lord told him, he said, man, y'all don't even touch this mountain because it's holy. But Moses, you come on up, buddy. We're going to spend 40 days together. And the word said he came down and he glowed so much. They had put a veil over him because they couldn't even behold how he shone with the glory of the Lord. And then you got a young man named Joshua, and he says, I want some of that Kairos. And Moses goes into the tabernacle with God, and he spends time with God. And he comes out to tell the people what God said, and a young man named Joshua said, I just want to stay in the glory for a little bit. So God allowed, Joshua wasn't supposed to be able to do what he did. But because he had a heart for Kairos, God let him do some stuff. And so he went in. And the word said he lingered where Moses and God had met. And he lingered in there. I believe that set him up for leading Israel into the promised land instead of Caleb, as awesome as Caleb was. And man, I dig Caleb, especially as I'm getting older. You know, Caleb's coming in. He says, I'm 80, but I'm still a man of my youth, and I'm still a man of war. I'm like, dude, you must have had some replacement stuff in you because my body, I don't know if it can hold up. Brother Keith, we're feeling it, right? And I admire Caleb. And I think Caleb was awesome, and he was a man that understood inheritance, and he was a man that understood generational. But Joshua was a man that longed for Kairos. And because of that, because of his yes, he got Kairos, and because of that, God used him in a mighty way. So some of you guys, you feel like you're stuck right now. You feel like you're bored in your faith right now. And you've checked the boxes and all that. And God said, I've got Kairos for you. I've got Kairos for you, I believe, this week. I've done too much. And God said, no, you haven't. I've got Kairos for you. The father with the prodigal, you know what that was really doing? That was opening up the door of the future. He said, you didn't forfeit it all. I just gave it back to you. I just redeemed it and I gave it back to you. That's what he did. That's why you want to get right down to it. That's why the other brother was chapped. Because he said, he's going to get into some of my inheritance now. Because he done squandered his. It wasn't about a calf. He didn't understand that our father has enough for all. My daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has enough for all. And so I want to tell you this morning, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're watching this on whatever medium you might be watching this on, God has Kairos for you in your life. If you're watching this in 2025, God has Kairos for you in your life in 2025. Because somebody in 2025 will be saying, we're living in unprecedented times. And the Republicans and the Democrats hate each other. And God's still saying, I've got Kairos. I've got Kairos. And it's to change the way you walk. Change the way you see. Change the way that you are in rhythm with me. When God showed me the rhythm between the creation and the creator, you know what it made my heart want to do? It made my heart say, I want to be in that same rhythm with you, God. My heart, there was a longing in my heart saying, God, I want to be in that exact same rhythm. Because I want to tell you guys, so often on this dance that we do with God, I feel real awkward and I feel like I don't get it. And I don't know how to do the two-step, God. And I'm screwing this thing up. And he said, man, just let me lead. Let me lead. I'll show you Kairos. We'll go from glory to glory to glory to glory together, and we'll be in rhythm together. So, man, I bless y'all with that this morning. Worship team, can y'all come up? I don't do this a whole lot. Man, I liked it when y'all did that last Sunday. That was right. I'm like, golly, I need to do that more instead of just saying bye. Y'all have fun. Have a good week. Be blessed. I want to give you an opportunity for a moment with the Lord, and maybe it looks like coming to the altar and praying. Maybe it looks like coming to the altar and taking communion. maybe it looks like just having a heart of gratitude and saying, God, you're so awesome because you love me. But I want to give you an opportunity for y'all stand to your feet. I'm finished. I said about half of what I wanted to say today, but I love what Bill Johnson says. He says, I've only got one sermon. It just takes me 40 years to preach it. My message on God's love is like Tolstoy's War and Peace. It's thick, but it's just getting thicker and thicker and thicker. Because as we walk this out, he says we're living epistles. As we walk this out, we've got more chapters to write. And as I have more Kairos moments, I have more to share. And so do you. So do you. So I just want to give you a few moments to have a moment with God, whatever it looks like, and just respond to Him. Just love on Him, man. He's a Father that I love it when my children and my grandchildren, they come up and they hug me and they tell me they love me and they're excited to see me and all that stuff. I'm like, yeah, so does He. So does He. He's not some stoic God sitting up there saying, don't touch me. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whew. I give you rest. I give you peace.
Spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every piece. I hear you call. I am available. I say, of me and more of you. I just wanna see you move. I hear you call. I am available. I say, yes, Lord. You. use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. I hear you call. I am available. I say, yes, Lord. I am available. I hear you call. I am available. I say, yes, Lord.
I want you guys to understand something, that don't take away when you hear the guides just looked at me and Sydney and thought, boy, they just got it all together, because it wasn't like that. Because they're, you know, when they have, what they do it there, they have guides and they'll be 2 or 3 miles away and there'll be glass and another will be 2 or 3 miles away and they'll radio you in and they say, come haul booty, we've got one. And this guy, one guy, our guy's 6'4 and 29 years old. And when he was at the top of the mountain, he said, let's go. He lowered his shoulders and ran straight down the mountain through all the bushes and all that junk. And I'm sitting there going, I can't do that. So Sydney and his tunnel vision, which I'm, it's Jesus, me, and whatever, kids, whatever. But when it's an elk calling, I might go down the ladder a little bit. And I'm going with my 30-pound backpack. And my hat gets hung in this tree, and I'm swinging by a tree, and they gone. And there's bears here, and I'm like, I listen. I don't hear anybody coming back from me. And I had to take my backpack off, unhook my hat, listen. No bears get me. So we wasn't all pretty all the time, okay? Don't get that. So when we go out in this world, be you. They want to see who you are. They don't want to see perfection. They want to see how you handle the good, bad, and the ugly. They want to see how you're going to do in the nitty-gritty. And that's what they want to know. The one sweet guy that I was with, he had a terrible, we were going from one location to another in our cars and our trucks. He had a guy jump off a bridge on the interstate, and his coat got hung, and he flipped, and our guide had to swerve to miss him. He was committing suicide. He did it right in front of him. And so when we're leaving that night, we're only getting 3 and 4 hours of sleep a night on this trip because the daylight's so long, Eric. So long, the daylight. But he said, I hope y'all sleep good. He said, I probably want what I've seen. And the Lord prompted me to pray for over this man. And the next morning we get there and I said, how did you sleep? He said, I slept really good. I said, I prayed for you. I prayed you needed that rest, and that image that was nothing to do with you, it was no fault of your own, wouldn't sear you and cause you this. And I really think he really understood that prayer really did work for him that night. But in hearing all this, when we're, be available this week. But don't think you have to be your perfect self, because I promise there was times when I wasn't my perfect self and they still saw something. They saw him, I hope, in me, not me. Him and me. As we're available this week, let the world see him in you, with your warts and the good and the bad and the ugly. Amen and amen. Yes.
Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this house and to worship you, and to let our faith collide and our worship collide, our praise collide, our hope collide, our dreams collide. And I pray that you would just stir everything that was said today and done today and came from your throne today. Lord, I pray that it would just take root and take hold in our lives. And I pray that we would be a people that are on a collision course with your Kairos, your dreams for our lives. I pray we would just walk through this week with eyes wide open and a yes in our heart. Eyes wide open and a yes in our heart. We thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we place all of our hope, all of our trust. Amen and amen.